Thank you for that beautiful special. Sitting up here thinking about how to introduce our speaker. And Tommy, my path have crossed several times throughout our lives. But I can say I really don't know him personally. I haven't had a chance to sit and visit with him and to work with him and to do things with him, as some of you have. But the one thing I do know, and I am very positive of the fact of his willingness to serve our Savior, of the zeal and the willingness that he has to spread the gospel of Christ in more than one language. And I'm deeply thankful for his willingness to stand before us today and to teach us, to work with us within the gospel of Christ. I give you our speaker of the hour, our brother Tommy Hill.
I'm thankful that God has given me the opportunity to be here before you this day. Thought about doing this in Spanish and having somebody translate because I didn't bring my English books with me. Rarely don't use them anymore, but I guess I borrowed some. The sermon I wrote a while back in Honduras, and I knew that when I wrote it, that it was for here in the U.S. When I wrote it to a point, and I knew that it needed more to it, but I could not come up with the ending of it. But here at the conference, God gave me the ending of it. So, I titled this, Trust in the Lord. I have a question. Start out with a question. Who among us this day would admit that sometimes they don't trust in the Lord? And maybe that sometimes is more than the times we do. If you do trust in the Lord, if you believe you do, well, let's read a few verses. I'm going to start in Psalms. Psalms chapter 4. One little verse. Verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Do we offer those sacrifices of righteousness? Do we trust in the Lord? I want to turn to Psalms chapter 37. And read verses 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Doesn't say trust in the Lord, work hard, and you'll have enough to eat. It says trust in the Lord and do good. And you'll be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do we delight in the Lord? How do you prioritize God? Is there anything more important to you than your salvation? Do you delight in the Lord? I gave the example of Nephi in our Sunday school. Nephi delighted in the Lord. Even though his brothers tied him up, beat him up, mistreated him, his father and mother lost faith in the Lord and murmured against him, but he trusted in the Lord. There was nothing more important to him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Look at what Nephi accomplished because of his trust in the Lord. It wasn't because of his own strength. It was because he trusted in the Lord, and the Lord strengthened him and brought him to the best piece of land this earth had. Do we trust in the Lord enough to allow him to lead us? I'm going to go to Psalms 118. Verse 8 and 9. This might get a little personal, I'm sorry. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Do we trust in the Lord? When problems arise, where do you go? How many times throughout Scripture we're told to have faith as little children? I'll tell you a little story. It happened right before I came up. My little son, 8 years old, helping my wife cook supper. Hot water splashed onto his face. His eye turned bloodshot red. I asked him, "Do you want me to pray for you?" Children, so honest that they are. "Well, I don't know." I said, "Do you believe God can heal you?" "Yes." "Do you want me to pray for you?" "Yes." My little daughter, 3 years old, distraught that her brother is in this pain, telling me about it continuously. I look at her, I say, "We're going to pray for your brother. We're going to ask God to help him." And she said, "Pray." And she closed her eyes. I said that prayer. And in 30 minutes, my son went to my wife, amazed that there was no pain in his eye or his face. And the red was all gone. Do we trust in the Lord like they? We're told to. Didn't happen immediately. When I finished that prayer, he was in pain still. But he trusted in it. And the Lord healed. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. How many times in life do situations come before us, and we ask God for help? We're not sure what to do. How many times do you wait for an answer? In the Book of Mormon, when the disciples came together, they had a problem. They called out to our Father and asked Him, "What do we do about this problem?" There's one piece of information that's not written there. It doesn't say how long they waited for the answer. Us as humans, we like to build imaginary bridges that don't exist. We imagine that He just appeared, right? It doesn't say that. Sometimes we need to wait for an answer. Do we trust that God will give the answer? Or are we so used to making up our own decisions that we ask God and then make a decision? Examine yourself. Do we trust God? I have an example of trusting God. It was brought up this morning in our Sunday school also. In Genesis, chapter 6, everybody knows the story, right? It's Noah. God told Noah to build a boat because it was going to rain so much that the earth would be covered in water. Noah had never seen rain. May have needed a description. Well, what is rain? But it didn't matter. He followed God's orders without understanding all the details. We don't need all the details. Scripture says it took him 100 years to build the ark. How many times did God come and talk to him? Well, it really doesn't say now, does it? fact, it only mentions the one time. You imagine 100 years following an order without any more confirmation? The whole time preaching to his friends and family. And more than likely the whole time being laughed at. Being called crazy. And who knows what other things he suffered the whole time. Do you trust in the Lord as did Noah? Are you willing to follow the commandments without necessarily knowing the why? I have another example that was brought up in our Sunday school. Isn't it interesting how the Lord does that? Prepares everything ahead of time for us. Sons of Mosiah. And it's not necessarily about the sons of Mosiah that I want to mention. It's about Mosiah himself. Mosiah had no idea what was going to happen to his sons. More than likely, he was old in his age. He wanted to give up his throne. He may not have even seen them after that. They were there for 14 years. But God asked Mosiah to trust him. And so Mosiah trusted him. His sons had this great desire to serve. But yet when they came to the edge of it, they were a bit timid. Sound familiar? When the pastor comes and asks, I need some help, can you do this for me? Get that little cold shiver that goes up your spine? That's normal. We all go through it. But God comforted them and told them, you're going to have to go through a lot of stuff here. There's going to be stuff that you've never experienced. You're going to have to suffer it. So what'd they do? Well, I don't know. It sounds pretty hard. No. They trusted him. They trusted him. So I have another question. Has God told you things that you need to do? Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust Him enough to do those things? When you ask God for guidance, do you trust His word? Easy to say yes until it hits what you want to do. When you need help, you trust that He will provide for you. Or do you try to go and solve the problem yourself? Do you trust that the Word of God doesn't lie? Then follow what it says. God requires sacrifice. He requires that sacrifice of righteousness from what I read in Psalms, first verse. He requires that. It's not something that you think you might need to do. You cannot live the life that this world lives and be acceptable to God. You cannot. And I'm not speaking of obvious things like murder, fornication, adultery, such things. I'm speaking of the more subtle. Things like pride, envy, greed, hate. Oppressing the poor. Living like a king. When your brethren live with nothing. Are you willing to sacrifice for God? Are you willing to sacrifice and trust in Him who is mighty to save? I'm pretty sure that all the ministry here that went to conference will tell you that God was speaking through the different sermons and testimonies that were given. What I got from it is that the locals here in the U.S. need to be strengthened. And that it is your responsibility to help in that task. Some people might say, well, I'm not a minister, can't do anything. I'll tell you what you can do. You build bridges. Each and every one of you can be a bridge builder. You make connections, personal connections with other people. You are not an island limited to how many people you can have a relationship with. We are supposed to be a kingdom of our Heavenly Father. One heart, one mind. And the more people that you build those connections with, the stronger you become an integral part of that kingdom. The smaller your relationships are, the less important you are to that kingdom. You need to start getting to know people. Well, I don't know anybody outside of my age group. Right? Well, how do you get to know anyone in this world? By talking, right? Asking questions. Just start. Pick someone and start. You don't know who? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of traveling ministry that could give you names. Numbers of people that you could talk to. And you know, lots of times people just need a connection. Lots of times people feel isolated because of the lack of connection. Even those who have left the body. I'll give you an example. We have a family there in Honduras who's on the edge of leaving. And I've been working with them, going and visiting them. Even though they stopped coming to church, one day while I was leaving, I felt very disheartened. And I was asking the Lord, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. And the Spirit told me that there is an evil spirit going throughout this church right now, a spirit of dissension, seeking to tear apart. And the only way that we can stop it is to build those bridges. Spirit told me, you don't stop going and visiting. Each one of us have to understand a bridge is connected to both sides. If you don't take care of your side, who's guilty when the bridge falls? Not just one, both. We're at a place in this world, a time, that we need to spread as fast as we can to reach and touch as many souls and hearts as we can. And each one of us is responsible for that. We have small locals all over. Start communicating with somebody. Doesn't matter if you know what they look like. Doesn't matter if they're in your age group. Build friendship. It will help strengthen them. Sometimes in a large local, we forget what it was like when it was small. So I ask and I challenge each of you to trust the Lord. He told us what we need to be doing at conference. He told each one of us that we have a responsibility to reach out because we don't have any more time. Time is well spent. And He's coming. And when He comes, what fruit do you have on your tree? What sacrifice have you made? Will He find you fruitful, or will He find you barren? I have an orange tree behind my house. I have no idea how old it is. It is the ugliest tree in our community that I know of. And there's only one reason I don't cut it down. Because it bears fruit. And it is always bearing fruit. We all have made errors in our past. And if you look at us throughout our lifetime, we are all ugly trees. And nothing's going to change that. But are you bearing that fruit? Thank you for your time.